Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Did you make time for the NBA Finals last night?
Of I imagine course. You did. Of course. Must-see TV. Well, these are great.
The thing does start late enough that you can do all your yard work and then, you know, be able to watch it because by that time it's already dark.
Not only that.
We're threatening to end these things at like 11:30 these days.
Do the yard work. Put Elliot down. Absolutely. Take a shower. I can do it all.
The Thunder were outscored 32-18 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
If you go quarter by quarter in the breakdown of the series, the first quarter, Oklahoma City's plus 23. The second quarter, they're plus 3. The third quarter, they're plus 7. And then Indiana's plus 27 in the fourth quarter. Like, what about this Pacers team? I have a hard time believing the Pacers are going to still win this NBA Finals, but they're making a lot of people that doubted them look pretty stupid right now.
You certainly don't want to just sit there, Jonathan, and say it's an it factor and not be able to define it. So I've talked to a lot of different people about this throughout the course of the playoffs, and I've talked to a lot of current and former NBA players about this, and I think we've all come together with the same conclusion. There is a maturity that they play with. That's what it is. They went to the conference finals last year. They did it all together. They learned a lot of stuff during that playoff run. And when they get in these situations, there's a level of trust and a level of maturity that they play with that Oklahoma City is still trying to find. Because this is still new to them.
Yeah.
And the level of maturity that Indy has played with, every opponent to this point has not been able to match consistently. Not the Cavs, not the Knicks, not even Oklahoma City. They get in these situations and they know exactly what they want to do. They know exactly who they are. They know what plays to call. They know who to get the ball to. It is a beautiful brand of basketball.
I mean, it felt like I was watching the Cavs series all over again. Like, this was deja vu. I've seen this. I mean, and you know that almost shell-shocked face that the Cavs had when they were going through some of those games, and you're like, wait, the Pacers, how did they do that? And I swear Oklahoma City had that same face, that same reaction last night. Like, they're like, what is going on here? We know we're the more talented team. We know we have better players on this roster. SGA, by the way, at some point we'll get into the idea that was not a very good game three from him, all things considered.
No, it wasn't.
9-20 from the field. It was just kind of like okay for an MVP caliber, MVP winner player. It was just kind of okay in a finals game, especially since he tore apart them in the first two games. But ultimately, I've seen that face. I've seen teams go up against this Pacers team, the Cavs being one of them, and look exactly the same way the Thunder did last night.
It's so interesting because if you think back to some of what the Cavs did during the regular season, they went on these runs and everybody started calling them Cavalanches, right? Against lesser opponents, they just wilt. The Cavs went on some of those runs against Indy and they were right there. They're like, all right, we're still here.
Yeah.
Less Miami. Miami couldn't withstand that.
No, moment you got a Cavalanche, it was over.
It was over, done, over with.
Blouses.
Indiana's not fazed by that. They're just like, okay, we're going to make our own run. We're going to trust our system. We're going to trust our coach. We're going to trust our all-star point guard. And it's just, it's a special quality that most championship teams have. And I don't know if they're going to go on and win this series against OKC, But this NBA Finals is starting to feel a lot like 2011. Miami was the more talented team. They had the high-profile players. They were the talk of the NBA that year for a variety of reasons.
And the most embarrassing LeBron Finals of his existence.
Because he was uncomfortable.
Hmm.
Because he was uncomfortable in those situations that Dallas was comfortable in.
Yeah.
And I think there's a common denominator there, right? It's Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the NBA. And if you have a belief in your coach that he's going to come up with solutions and he's going to be a problem solver over and over and over again, and he instills confidence in everybody, whether it's Ben Mathurin, whether it's Thomas Bryant, whether it's Tony Bradley coming off the bench, I don't know how many wins Rick Carlisle is worth, but we've seen what he can do throughout the course of a playoff run.
Yeah.
And that's a huge advantage that Indy has. So it starts with him, and it trickles throughout the roster. And there's just a level of mental toughness and a level of maturity that these other teams have not been able to get to, including the Cavs.
Well, what's impressive to me is that, and they have something that I thought I saw a lot of with the Cavs during the regular season, and then in the playoffs it kind of went away, but the idea that, yes, their stars are their stars. Halliburton's going to show up, Siakam's going to show up, they're going to do their part, but then, and listen, we're going to all respect Benedict Mathurin, but like Mathurin going for 27 is the, it's an equivalent of like when Ty Jerome would just have these games where he would go off, or one of these other guys would go off. TJ McConnell being the impact player that he was last night, the steals that he had, the stat line was incredible for him last night. But it's like the Cavs kept getting it from, obviously you have Donovan and the main stars, but then there were these other players in back of it, and they would pop up on any given night throughout the regular season. They would just, one of them, or even sometimes two of them, would just show up, and you'd be like, oh, I guess that's name player 6 through 10's game. And I feel like the Pacers have that in spades throughout the entire postseason.
Remember what we talked about the other day, Jonathan? We were talking about there are 82 game players and there are 16 game players.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like to me that Indiana has an entire roster of 16 game players.
Mm.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
Everybody that they call on, and it doesn't mean every single game. Mathurin doesn't do this every single game, right? Right.
And that's the difference, though. There are games, though, where he steps up and he's there, and then there are other games where it's like, all right, I guess it's Obi Toppin's turn.
That's exactly right. So Rick will push that button. Okay, Mathurin doesn't have it. Let's go to the next guy. And that guy's ready. That guy doesn't have it the following game. Okay, let's go to the next guy. They just have so many different options that they can go to. They don't need every single one every single night, but they have different guys throughout the course of their roster and throughout the course of the season that they've put in these situations so that they're ready for this moment. And they've been together and they've done this playoff run together. They've had success in the playoffs together. They've had failures in the playoff together, and it just makes them better. It makes them more ready for this moment. And playoff basketball is different. Everybody understands playoff basketball is different. It takes a different kind of mentality, different kind of intensity, different kind of focus, approach, and they've learned all of that together over the last couple of years, and you're seeing it come together. And in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma City looked like a team that just had not been through those things, that hadn't been there before.
And they were also way too shocked with the full court press. Like, there are certain things that just caught them way off guard for some reason.
Indy's tough to play against, man.
Well, Indy looked like...
Going against that for 48 minutes.
The Thunder are supposed to be, obviously, one of the best defensive teams we've seen in 10 years. But it looked like, if you would have told me, if I never saw either team play before yesterday, I would have been like, oh, the Pacers, that's the defensive team. That's the one you're talking about.
That's the thing. I mean, I don't think enough people give Indy credit for the kind of defensive team that they can be, not on a night-in, night-out basis.
I've never seen the Thunder so gassed by the fourth
stretches,
quarter.
Yes, yeah. Because it wears on you, because Andrew Nembhard wears on you over the course of 48. Now you take 48 and you turn it into a seven-game series and think about how worn down and exhausted you are by the end of that series.
Yeah, no question. 216-474-0092. Little bit about Finals Game 3. Would the Cavs beat both teams if healthy? One person on the station seems to think so. Based off of what Chris just said in the first segment, I'm going to imagine he disagrees. Get involved. 216-474-0092. It's Chris Fedor, Jonathan Peterlin. Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan. There's no way the Cavs beat them if healthy.
Oh, I don't think so either. Look, going into the series, I thought it was going to be a close series between the two teams. I picked the Cavs to win in six. I was thinking Cavs in seven.
We talked to you before that series got underway, and in just a sea of Cavs in six, Cavs in seven, Cavs in five, you're like, this is the one team the Cavs do not want to play.
Yeah.
Okay, there was something that you had, you'd seen with this team that struck a little bit of fear when not many people had seen it.
It's really interesting, too, because a lot of us reporters talk amongst each other when we get into there for practice or shoot around or stuff. And I was in a heavy conversation with Danny Cunningham, actually, who covers the Cavs as well. And we were going back and forth on who the second best player in the series is, how long it was going to go. And I said, I don't know, Danny, like this thing has seven written all over it. He was like, there's no way Indiana takes the Cavs to seven.
Danny also last night said Oklahoma City in five, and they were winning the next four. So just want to make that abundantly clear.
So I just don't know that enough people gave Indiana the respect that it earned going into the series.
Vegas still hasn't, by the way. I want to just point that out. Like Vegas, even during the series with the Cavs, where the Cavs were favored in every game, the Knicks were favored in every one of their games. And even up until, do you know the line for game four?
The 7.5?
6 points.
Okay.
Yeah, Thunder are favored by 6 points. Like, they still are not buying into everything that the Pacers are giving off. But go ahead.
I think it was your partner, Nick Wilson, who was saying that we were trying to sell a boxing match or
Sell the fight. Exactly right.
And I just don't think enough people gave Indy the kind of credit that they deserved. You know, since January, they've been one of the best teams in the entire NBA. This isn't new. So I felt like it was a competitive series going in, but I thought the Cavs were going to win because I thought they were the more talented team. I thought they had the best player, and I wasn't sure that Indiana's defense could get to the level that we've seen consistently throughout the course of these playoffs, especially against the Cavs offense that was one of the best in NBA history. But after seeing that series play out and seeing some of the matchup problems that Indy created for the Cavs, and seeing some of the lack of readiness from the Cavs' most important players compared to Indy's most important players, I don't know how you could watch that series and say injuries would have made the difference between winning that series and losing it. If you want to say making it more competitive, sure, totally get that. But winning that, beating Indy four times in seven tries, no. I don't think the Cavs, fully healthy, would have beaten this Indiana team four times in seven tries.
But I also think the thing going against Indiana right now is that, yes, they have a lot of good players that we know, but even like Haliburton was voted as overrated by his own peers. Siakam has never been given the due credit that I feel like Siakam has earned. And even a guy like Benedict Mathurin, who was obviously exceptional last night, next couple years, Mathurin's going to be a household name. He's that type of player.
Yes.
And he's the type of guy that's only going to get better and better and has already showcased himself to be really, really good in the early parts of his career. And I just think we're going to look back on this Pacers team and we're going to think to ourselves, of course they won the title. Look how loaded this roster was. But it just kind of blindsided everyone and we didn't see it for what it was to begin with.
So if you take a step back and you try and take the emotion out of it, right? Pascal Siakam.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
He was, not only was he a champion, he was the number two option on a championship team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
he's more ready for this than Evan Mobley is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about the second best player in the series behind Donovan Mitchell, you have to talk about Siakam, you have to talk about Tyrese Halliburton before you talk about anybody related to the Cavs, even when fully healthy. Because guys have not shown.
I feel like now he's calling out Nick while not calling out Nick. Does that feel like that to you? You're not aware of Nick's take. I want you to become aware of it. Well, he told it to you on the air at one point. It was a very long time ago, so I don't expect you to have the memory attached to all of Nick's takes.
But it wasn't just Nick. It was the general conversation of get on a schoolyard and you start picking these guys.
I'm with you. That was part of the convo, though. And Nick has already owned up to this. He's repented for this one. He did like 7 Hail Marys and our fathers. He's all good. I gave him the cross sign and everything. Like, we're cool. But at the time, we got in this knock him out, drag him out fight because he wanted to say that Darius Garland would go third in that race, 1-2-3, and it was all Cavs players, 1-2-3, and he was ahead of Tyrese Halliburton. And I said, you're bananas. So there's no way Tyrese Halliburton's fourth on this list. And we can debate talking about number two. But, you know, it was one of those things that he didn't want to do. But that's I think locally, and we do this locally, we have a different viewpoint of these Cavs teams and these Cavs players than, you know, everybody else. And the Pacers, they've earned a lot of the credit that they're now getting.
I almost put Halliburton fifth on my MVP ballot. And everybody was yelling at me for it. But he is one of the most impactful players in the NBA. And I think that is something that Cavs fans need to take away from these playoffs. There is a difference between talent and impact. There is a difference between production and impact. Mm. Evan Mobley is never going to be defined by production, but he is an impactful player. We can all admit that because what he does at both ends of the floor, what he does on a possession-to-possession basis, especially on the defensive end. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But we have to have an understanding of when it comes to Darius Garland, when it comes to Jared Allen, their level of impact in a playoff environment is not going to be what I think everybody in this town wants it to be. Darius is not going to impact games the way that Tyrese Halliburton does. Right. He's not going to dictate terms for a defense the way that Tyrese Halliburton does. He's not going to orchestrate offense the way that Tyrese Halliburton does. And like I said, you can't speed up Evan Mobley's clock. Just because he's really, really talented, just because he's second team All-NBA and a first time All-Star, you can't make him ready for playoff basketball because you want it to match the window of Donovan Mitchell or the timeline of Donovan Mitchell. He's just not ready to be what Pascal Siakam is for the Indiana Pacers right now. Just like Chet Holmgren is not ready right now. He might be in 3 to 5 years, and maybe Oklahoma City has enough around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that makes it so the readiness of Chet Holmgren is not going to prevent them from winning a championship. Maybe, but the Cavs need Evan Mobley and Darius Garland to be more ready for playoff basketball and be more mature from a basketball standpoint than what they currently are. And until they get to that point, Kenny Atkinson was talking about it throughout the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Altman talked about it. Kenny Atkinson point blank said, we need Darius to be 28, not 25.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He did.
Yeah. And he was talking about the mental side of the game. He was talking about basketball maturity. And Darius isn't there yet. And Evan Mobley's not there yet. And you can't speed up that clock.
Yeah, there's no way to microwave that process. Like, I keep trying to think of like what different things they could do to get him to that spot quicker. Because I do think part of the bet, if they run it back, is that Evan Mobley will have some sort of big, drastic leap from 1 year to the next. But you're right, though. There's even outside of it, just his physical part, if it gets better and better, the mental side of it, it's still just, it's going to be lacking because he's not 28.
And here's the variable that nobody can predict. And this is part of the evaluation for the front office this offseason. Just how much going through all of these playoff failures and successes, how much is that going to make Evan more ready? How much better is that going to make Evan for playoff level basketball? Same thing when it comes to Darius. Same thing when it comes to Jared Allen. And I don't know how you predict that. Maybe going through all of this, maybe losing to Indiana in the fashion that the Cavs did, maybe that's going to make these guys better. Maybe losing 2 years ago against the New York Knicks, maybe losing last year in the conference semifinals to Boston. All of these lessons that they gained throughout the course of this journey together, it's going to make them better equipped for playoff basketball. Maybe.
And it might with Evan. The problem I have only with that conversation is the idea that Darius Garland fans would just come back and they'd be like, well, you know, mentally he's fine and he's there and this that's not the part that's going to help him. He was injured the past 2 years. And they'll just try to use that as the excuse. And I think that's where we fall short in the Darius Garland conversation, because we're not acknowledging the idea that even if he's healthy, he still hasn't gotten to a spot that they need him to be.
So many people are focused on Darius's talent, and that is undeniable. Right? The spellbinding passes, the masterful dribble, the stop start, the just dynamic offensive player that he is. But there's another end of the floor that matters.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into a 7-game series and you start targeting certain weaknesses.
When you saw it last night, even with SGA, like what Indiana was able to do defensively on him and then how it just impacted everyone else around that Thunder team.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why I said I thought the Pacers looked like a much better defensive team last night than the Thunder. Like, this stuff matters for these big time games.
And it doesn't matter what Indy does throughout the course of the regular season and what their regular season rating is on defense. It's middle of the pack, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's not terrible. It's not Washington Wizards or Charlotte Hornets. But it doesn't matter. All that matters is a 7-game series against a particular opponent. And when they have dudes like Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith and some of these, Ben Shepherd even, and TJ McConnell, some of these rugged defenders that can get in you and pressure you full court and take you out of your rhythm offensively, that's all that matters. And in a matchup, in a 7-game series matchup, those dudes are going to be tough to play against for years to come, provided they stay together, because they have multiple feisty on-ball defenders that can guard the likes of Darius Garland, that can guard the likes of Donovan Mitchell. And nobody is shutting down Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Nobody's shutting down Donovan Mitchell. But can you make it difficult?
Yeah.
Can you throw different bodies at that guy and wear him down over the course of a series? That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing, and that's why in the fourth quarter they missed 9 out of their last 10, the Thunder did. Like, in the most important part of the game, they went blank based off of what Indiana was able to offer up defensively. All right, 216-474-0092. A lot to get to. We do have Browns rookie running back Dylan Sampson joining us at 3:40. I did not tell you guys earlier, we'll have Herm Edwards on at 6 o'clock as well. So a lot to get into. Quick Hits comes your way next right here on The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels, Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, we're watching the U.S. Open. We have Patrick Reed just made a 2 on a par 5, so he's just out here just having the time of his life. Sergio Dip.
On that hole, anyway.
Sergio Dip style. We're having the time of our life. Scotty Scheffler was asked in an interview yesterday and talking to the different assembled media, about why exactly he got rid of Venmo. Here we go.
I think everybody hears from fans whether they have a financial benefit or anything in their outcome. That's why I had to get rid of my Venmo, because I was either getting paid by people or people were requesting me a bunch of money when I didn't win. It wasn't a good feeling.
I kind of love that. Like, he just plays poorly in a tournament and he gets Venmo requests.
Hold on. Who is paying Scottie Scheffler?
That I don't know, too. That's a fun part of it, too. Well, yeah, you gotta break him off some bread. You know, you win a big parlay.
Thanks for winning the Masters and getting my parlay.
Yes.
Here's some money, even though you just won $8 million.
Yes, I would. Here's for sure. I am in the camp of people that would for sure do that if that became a thing. Where it's like, yeah, everyone knows. You just got to break off a little piece. I like breaking off little pieces of actions to friends if I win a decent amount of change. I like being like, hey, here's my win. Now you get to celebrate a little bit as well. And then they in turn will do the same. It's a fun part of life. And so I get it.
Can I give you a suggestion that's better? It's something that I did a couple of years ago, Jonathan.
Keep all my money for me?
No. That's usually something that I would do. But I was okay. I was feeling generous.
Yeah.
And I had won my fantasy Super Bowl again.
Nice.
Not to toot my
own. How many years in a row was that?
I think that was 2 in a row. I've won it 4 times now in the last 15 years,
they,
I want to say.
They say you're a dynasty in that
one. I'm pretty good. Yeah. Just call me the Golden State Warriors.
All right, Hammer.
Or the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you got
since
it.
Since we're talking fantasy football. So what I did was, the best player on my roster, I donated to his charity.
That's
now, come
nice.
On, right?
And that's nice.
That's better than saying, hey, Scotty Scheffler, here's $20. Maybe ask Scotty, hey, what's a charity near and dear to your heart, and you can take some of your parlay winnings, and you can send that to the charity.
So the gambler in me kind of wishes he would take some of the winnings that people had sent him and then sent it to the people that had the Venmo request for the losses, and it was just a cycle, you know what I mean? One hand washes the other. Everyone just kind of takes care of itself, and the gambling world equals out.
Is this the kind of world that we're in, that people are audacious enough to reach out to Scotty Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world, and say, hey, man, you didn't birdie enough holes. Give me some money via Venmo.
How down bad in your checking account do you have to be to actually ask Scotty for a Venmo?
Only gamble what you can lose, folks. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver joined the ESPN broadcast yesterday. Before Game 3 of the Finals, he addressed the fans who are upset with the lack of on-court decals to make these games feel a little bit more special.
I've seen some of the chatter on social media around on-court decals. People don't realize they went away a decade ago because there were claims that Kendrick knows some of the players were saying it was slippery when we had the decals on the floor. So we're back to adding them virtually. So those are on.
Listen, it was more than the decals. It was. You know this. I know. Yes, it was more than the decals. The whole presentation, it did. It felt like game 67 in the regular season. And maybe that's a Mike Breen problem I got to get over.
Adam
I don't know.
Silver's fault.
Yes, yes, it is.
How?
Show me the national anthem. Show me the player intros. Go back and watch what the 2016 NBA Finals, that whole package that was set up. It was incredible. They had a whole display of championship regalia on the actual court as fans are just waving their free t-shirts and losing their mind. Like, all that stuff is just gone now. I get back to that. Yeah, I like the presentation of it all. I do.
Then blame ESPN for not doing it and putting Kendrick Perkins on the pregame
show.
This
is not just a one-person blame, okay?
The likes of Kendrick Perkins on the pregame show.
In a blame chart, trust me, ESPN's getting a lot of blame in a lot of different areas, okay? And yes, part of that is Big Perk, but I wanted a little bit more. I'm also the type of guy that, like, on opening day, get me some bunting out there too. Like, there are certain things I just kind of like when it's a bigger game. I like to make it feel like a bigger game. None of this NBA Finals.
I missed
finals
you, baseball.
Has.
I missed all the dongs and all the strikeouts. Yes. But give me bunts, please.
Did you say dogs or did you say something else?
Dongs.
Oh, that's home runs.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Dongs.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking
Yabos
about something. Yeah. That's where my brain went, for sure. All right, speaking of more people talking before the NBA Finals last night, Charles Barkley got a chance to speak on what exactly is going on with the New York Knicks coaching search, courtesy of NBA TV.
The Knicks got to be the stupidest damn people in the world. Like, you don't fire no good coach like that and don't have a plan. I mean, Tibbs did a hell of a job. Obviously, something's going on there, but you don't have a plan. And now, the three coaches turn you down. You got to have a plan, man. And they don't have a plan now. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
A good point. Jason
Kidd.
There's
still two other guys out there with coaching experience.
Ime Udoka, Quinn Snyder, Billy Donovan have all been not granted to interview.
That can't be the plan. That's got to be the first thing that they go at and say, okay.
I agree with you.
Thibodeau's gone. Can we just make a godfather offer to one of these teams to get their proven head coach? And if the answer is right, shoot for the stars, land on the moon.
That's right. That was my high school yearbook
there
quote,
we go.
Oddly enough. Not even kidding. I wish I was joking. That was the one. I loved it. I'm like, this is gonna be it. And then, you know, it just became everybody's high school yearbook quote.
So that's not the only plan. There are different levels to plans, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's plan A is see if you can take a proven coach from another team. If they say no, now you move to plan B, and they still have Michael Malone's out there, mm-hmm. Mike Brown's out there, Johnny Bryant, the assistant coach for the Cavs,
I'm glad you bring him up. I kind of feel like they have Johnny Bryant, and they know that that's in their back pocket, and so they do that shoot for the moon that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They go and ask for as many people as they like and respect,
yes.
And then they know that Johnny Bryant's there if they need it.
All I'm going to say is let it play out first. And if they continue to whiff over and over and over again, and the end result of the coaching search is something that you think is worth criticizing because of the coach that they get, okay, fair game. Then criticize. But this is a long – coaching searches are exhausting. They are long. Oh, my gosh. There are so many people that talk to these organizations during this coaching search, and they could end up with a Kenny Atkinson-type coach. Who, by the way, won every single Coach of the Year award that there was during the regular season. There are multiple Coach of the Year awards. So if New York goes through all of this and they end up with a coach that's comparable to Kenny that can have that kind of first-year success, are we still going to say the New York Knicks are idiots? What were they doing during their coaching search?
No, probably not. Do you think Johnny Bryant ends up leaving?
Well, if New York offers him the head coaching job, sure.
You think that's how it goes down? Is kind of what I'm asking.
No, I think New York has shown through the first stage of this process that they prefer a proven head coach, somebody mm-hmm. with a resume, and I think it ends up being Michael Malone.
Omaha!
All right, so former Guardians pitcher Aaron Civale, he requested a trade from the Brewers after being moved to the bullpen. Today's mm-hmm. also his birthday, and the trade request came in a few hours after Milwaukee's social media page wished him a happy birthday.
Yeah, can we stop wishing athletes happy birthdays on social media pages?
It's a thing.
I know, and I don't like it. It's very... I just...
The problem is...
Who's, like, retweeting it, being like, oh, Aaron Civale, all right, happy birthday.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to see that I retweeted this. You're definitely going to see that I liked it. This is great. Like, no, it's a cheap way for them to get a couple retweets and likes. It's not even, like, mass numbers that they're doing on these things. It's cheap. It's not good. It's not good content, in my opinion.
You know the other problem is?
What's that?
If you miss somebody's birthday that's not as meaningful or high profile.
They could feel a little slighted, do they not? For sure they do.
Or people will call you out on it saying, hey.
I call people out on it. One of our former bosses here. He's very good at like wishing people birthdays on Facebook, but we weren't Facebook friends because I didn't, you know, it just wasn't. I don't Facebook request anyone. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's also very similar to that too, and so he just didn't know it was my birthday. And at one point, I was like, "Listen, yeah, you wish everyone in the world a happy birthday.
Right.
Today's my birthday. You see me every day. Where's my happy birthday, man?"
You set a precedent. You set a standard. Now everybody, even Jonathan, who's lower on the totem pole at 92.3 The Fan.
That's right. I couldn't even get the color of pens that we have in the studio if I wanted right now. We're very low on the totem pole. But even still, where's my happy birthday,
That's
Chris?
Right.
But you're right. People get slighted. They miss it. And then all of a sudden, you feel like, am I not good enough for a happy birthday? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I know.
Tough.
I mean, now the Cavs have to wish happy birthday to all 18 players on the roster, and they can't miss.
Where do we draw the line? You do one assistant, then we got 12 more assistants
right.
that you have to do.
What about the back of the bench assistants?
Now all of a sudden,
what about the film room gurus?
What about the guy that hands out popcorn in section 320? Now, like,
exactly.
Where does the line stop, Chris?
I think it probably stops at the popcorn guy. Probably.
He got a ring. I think he got a ring. Did he not?
He's got his name on the court during the playoffs.
That's exactly right. Dan Gilbert told me everyone has the same impact on that team and that championship. Al Pawlowski, Guardians TV. He'll join us next with the latest on your Guardians right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.